This is the MLWRadio.com network.
Welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network as well as on cagematch.net. We are all together again. Me and Dylan, that is. Hi, Dylan.
Striga. Yes. We are back again. Man, shout out to all the cagematch.net listeners out there. We had our most hits on the show on our last episode, our very short lifespan on cagematch.net so far, but still, a new achievement crossed every day, and I'm very thankful for that, so thank you all the listeners out there. Thank you to you for being here on such a very good notice with big shows happening. Now, last episode, next episode, there's going to be big stuff, but right now, today, Striga, what I'm really looking forward to is the Grizzlies, my NBA team. They are in the playoffs. Today is the first day of the basketball playoffs. Grizzlies come in at the number 2 seed, playing the Los Angeles Lakers, a legacy team in the NBA, the team that everybody hates pretty much, except for Fredo Esparza. They have...
Shout out to Fredo.
Yes, Fredo is like one of my best friends. So, but most importantly, we have to beat the so-called fake king, LeBron James.
So-called.
As he's known, Michael Jordan was always better than you, LeBron, wherever you are. And now, the team, the squad, Ja Morant, Big 12, Jaren Jackson, Defensive Player of the Year, maybe, if they give him the right votes. We don't know. There's a lot of controversy in the awards in NBA this year. Dylan Brooks shares my name, even though it's spelled different. But he's got that Canadian power. Right now, I'm wearing my Vancouver Grizzlies throwback jersey. Same jersey I wear all the time when the Grizzlies play. So I'm excited. I'm fired up for basketball. But, man, with all the wrestling going on, we just watched a Noah show today. I mean, there's nothing that fires us up more. I think I can speak for both of us, than pro wrestling, Noah Striga. And I think we're at a different level on this episode than we've ever been before.
Yes, you sound very excited, Dylan. I'm very happy for you and for your excitement level. And I think our excitement level matches right now because, Dylan, not only is there a lot going on in the world of sports, but there is also a lot going on in the world of wrestling. And I want to give a shout out to one of our listeners, Anthony, because there are a couple of things that we also unlocked right now, Dylan, because there is a new Eastern Lariat show uploaded. It's a potpourri episode. You and I are on the show. I think you might be going on a rant about the Noah Juniors, maybe. We'll see about that. And I watched Yoshi.
Yeah, you did watch Yoshi. We talked about that off the air. So we are at critical mass right now. I think he is at full Vince shooting laser beams out of his eyes level right now. So shout out to Anthony. That was so funny. that made me laugh so much. I haven't in a long time. So huge shout out to him. I loved how he said, too, that even when he doesn't watch Japanese wrestler, he's not following it. He still listens to us, which I very much appreciate. And that's a great thing for all the fans out there. Even if you don't watch all of these shows, you can still hear us talk about it. Occasionally, the Noah Juniors will push me too far, and I have to rant on it. And occasionally, Striga, when you're at that certain level, and I always respect you, and I always love your passion for wrestling, but when you get to that fifth gear, you know, that's when you hit critical mass, where you watch the Joshi, all the Joshi. And you did it once again. So we've come through. Critical mass has been activated on Eastern Lariat.
Yes. Absolutely. So, yes, we are going to talk about Altogether for our first topic of this show. They announced that Altogether will return Altogether again on June 9 from Sumo Hall, and they did a press conference where they had Hiroshi Tanahashi, Kento Miyahara, and Kaito Kiyomiya. So no of the actual champions of the companies, but the most important representatives of each company. But when I looked at these three, there is one that's not like the others, because Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kento Miyahara clearly are the stars of their respective companies. And with Kaito Kiyomiya, they always put him in these spots where he talks to the press and stuff like that, and they present him as this big star to the outside, but they never book him like a star. So there was a clear disconnect for my part.
Well, he looked nice in a suit.
That is correct, yes.
So he fit in aesthetically with the other two. So, yeah, it's a thing we've talked about many, many times over the years with Kaito, and that just continues, and it's going to continue, as he is basically a sidekick now to Goshi Ozaki and his return with how they're booking him in their biggest show at Sumo Hall that we'll be talking about. So, yeah, I mean, just like I said, I don't think they ever believed in him as an ace. I've said it before, and he's in these spots. Who knows what's going to happen on the show itself? We don't have any. I mean, we're still a month and a half away from this, you know, All Together Again show.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what kind of matches those are going to be. We can presume that the main event will be a six-man match.
Yes.
Of some sort. It'll be interesting to see what Kaito's role is in there, because I think he may very well be in it.
He may very well be in it. I mean, as you said, six-man tag would be the logical thing to do with Tanahashi, Miyahara, and Kaito Kiyomiya. Maybe they'll wrestle the current champions at that point. Right now, that would be Sanada, Yuji Nagata, and Jake Lee, which would be a very weird team. Maybe something changes until June.
I think Nagata may lose that title before then, because I think him representing All Japan would just be very defeat the whole purpose of this event, pretty much.
Exactly. Yes. Maybe the Triple Crown changes until that time, because Yuji Nagata is still holding on, but maybe the champion convoy winner wins the title. Maybe Jake Lee drops the title until that point. Who knows? Sanada, maybe two. We're not sure about that. But definitely these three look like the team that could be in the main event. And then there's another guy from All Japan, Dylan, who has to have clear interest in being in the main event of Altogether, because then he would have been in all three Altogether main events, and that guy is Zuwama.
I could easily see that happening. Like I said, I really find it hard to believe Nagata will be representing All Japan at this event, because as I said, it just defeats the whole purpose of what this show is supposed to represent, to have a New Japan guy representing another company. So yeah, I mean, if it's, you know, Kento and Zuwama have traditionally been their go-to guys for these kind of shows, and I have no reason to believe that has changed in the last month.
So once again,
Zuwama might be the champion, like you said.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Well, let's keep going, man. He might be the champion going in. What else can we expect from this show? Like, these shows are not designed to deliver like dream singles matches. We have to say that once again here with these announcements. You will get a lot of multi-man matches to get as many people on the card as possible. So, what do you expect from this show?
Just what you said. If you look back at the other Altogether shows, it's like all multi-man matches, trying to get all three companies work together. You usually have guys from one company team with another company, so that kind of separates it a little different from like the Noah versus New Japan shows or anything like that. They're kind of on the same team. You know, it's not necessarily about you know, obviously there will be political stuff at play. You know, that's impossible to avoid in any kind of situation like this. But you'll see some weird teams teaming up, like New Japan and Noah and All Japan guys, or maybe just an All Japan and a New Japan team, that sort of thing. But there'll be five-mans, six-mans, you know, ten-mans, like that sort of thing. Like, you'll see everything. I was kind of racking my brain. I don't know if you had any ideas for this card, but I had a few ideas for some matches that I actually wrote down if you want to hear them.
Oh, before you go to that, Dylan, I want to present you something that I found.
Oh, okay.
Because episode 53 of the Eastern Lariat, Dylan, was named All Together Again. It was in
this episode.
Yeah, it was in, I think, in April of 2020. And at that point, All Japan, NOAH, and New Japan had come together and went to the government because they wanted the government to support pro wrestling during the pandemic. And we figured that maybe in a couple of months from that point on, in April 2020, there would be another All Together. And very few people, I guess, expected the pandemic to last 3 years. So 3 years later, we are here at this point, and I actually, Dylan, found the cards that we fantasy booked for our All Together shows. And we went at that a little differently than the actual concept of it in reality, because we booked all companies, wrestlers from all different companies, only the top three companies. And our scenario was that you booked a show for Tokyo that was All Together Tokyo, and I booked a show for Osaka. It was called All Together Naniwa, Manatsu no Yoru no Yume, a Midsummer Night's Dream was my name of the card.
Yeah, I booked Takeshita and Shingo in a singles match.
Exactly, that's a match that you did. It was the Never Open Weight Two Galaxies Emergence Face-Off match.
Yeah.
I want to go through the cards quickly here.
Okay, let's go through them.
Your card opens with the Reiwa All Together New Generation opening bout. Katsu Sadaiguchi, Yuki Ueno, and Yoshihashi faced the team of Jin, Jake Lee, and Koji Omoto, and Yuma Aoyagi.
Jin, yeah, that's right. The Jin era of All Japan. Okay. And that shows you how much could change in 3 years.
The return of Chokibogun, One Night Only, Roppongi Showdown. Kenno and Hajime Ohara versus Roppongi 3K, Sho and Yo. I don't think that would work out right now.
No, Sho and Yo, totally different. Kenno and Ohara, they're in Congo, right? So they actually became a team. So
they did.
Sho and Yo, unfortunately, Sho is just a horrendous person right now.
It did not work out very well for him.
No.
Yoshi top level 8 trigrams experience. Stars Mayu Iwatani, Arisa Hoshiki, and Tam Nakano, as well as Jungle Kiona, all from Stardom at that point, face the magical Sugar Rabbits, Yuka Sakazaki and Mitsuki, Shoko Nakajima, and Madeline from Diana.
That would be great.
Yeah, Atsushi Aoki tribute tag match. Maybach Taniguchi and Kotaro Suzuki versus Jun Akiyama and Yusuke Okada. Unleashed Fighting Spirit Super Battle, Dylan. Hideki Suzuki and Yuji Hino versus Shotaro Ashino and Tomohiro Ishii. Ah, that sounds
good.
That
match would fucking rule. Well,
yes.
Even now.
Absolutely.
This is a great card.
Not finished.
Okay.
The junior heavyweight No Limit Radical Clash. Hiromu Takahashi, Masashi Takeda, and Hikaru Sato against Atsushi Kotoge, Daisuke Harada, and Taiji Ishimori.
Man, that match would have ruled if Harada hadn't had to retire.
That's true. You mentioned the Shingo Takagi versus Konosuke Takeshita match, and of course the main event All Together 2020 main event, once in a lifetime 6-man tag spectacular fight. Kento Miyahara, there he is, Kota Ibushi and Kenta. Wow. against Tetsuya Naito and Axis, Dylan, Katsuhiko Nakajima and Goshi Ozaki.
Oh, that sounds like a really fun match. Kenta's really deteriorated, but they kind of did a thing. Remember in the first All Japan when Kenzo Suzuki was in the main event and they all turned on him? So I could see that. That must have been what I was thinking back then, because I think of it immediately now. But yeah, that was a very fun card overall.
Absolutely. So my card. My card opens with the Young Generation Battle Frontline. Yoshiki Inamura versus Yuya Uemura. Well, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Then, it's my favorite name of the card, actually. Crossfire Over the Barricade. Satoshi Kojima, Hiroyoshi Tenzan, and Yuji Nagata against Shuji Ishikawa, Takao Mori, and Togi Makabe. I don't know why I put Makabe in the All Japan team, but except for that could work out.
I love it. I think you might maybe I'd take a veteran that you had wanted, and somehow that is there. But I love how in the opening match too, I just wanted to say that those two guys are still not any further up the card than they are now.
3 years later.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. Strong J versus UK Japan Armbar Masters. And this one did not age well. Daisuke Sekimoto and Evil of New Japan against Minoru Tanaka and Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, baby. Evil. What were you thinking with that match anyway?
I have no idea. I think there was pre-Evil's heel turn where I actually figured that he could be something down the line, but
never mind him being bad or not. I think the stylistic
tendency. Yeah, I have no idea.
Maybe like heavyweights versus technical small
guys.
Yeah,
maybe he took someone that I wanted and I had to...
Yeah.
Maybe. God of Naniwa in Midsummer. Zeus, Toa Henare, and Keisuke Ishii. I love that tag team.
Yeah.
Versus Hiroki Goto, Kaito Kiyomiya, and Naomi Yoshimura. Wow, great match.
That is a great match. I love how Kaito's so low on the card. but still, like a great match, though. That match would rock.
Spirit of Uwai in Osaka. Minoru Suzuki and Masaki Mochizuki against Takashi Sugiura and Yukio Sakaguchi. Let's go, baby!
Yeah, that could be a lot of fun. I wouldn't like it as much now because Suzuki I'm not a big fan of, but that's a good stylistic match, though.
Super Women Great War. Hana Kimura. Ah, damn it. Takumi Iroha, Momo Watanabe, and Haruka Umesaki against Kyoko Inoue, Julia, Utami Hayashishita, and Natsumi Maki. Man, that one hurts right now. I did not see that before I actually read it out.
I knew she would have gotten picked back then. Yeah. So, but I mean, you know, a lot of interesting match there for Joshi.
Yep. Fly to the Future. Katsushika Okada and Tetsuya Endo versus Will Ospreay and Mao.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I love how Ospreay is in here versus Mao. I like this. I like your vibe there.
And the main event. Pro wrestling community gathers all together again. Hiroshi Tanahashi, Meiko Satomura, and Harashima versus Zuwama. There he is in the main event. Naomichi Marufuji and Mio Yamashita.
Man, your card is weird.
That's a wild card.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. Like this is. I think there's a lot. I like this though because both of our cards are very different. I would say, like the mixed match in the main event. why did you have more Joshis than me? I wonder too. That's a weird case.
Interesting question. Yeah.
I think we should do a show like this again, but with the actual All Japan rosters.
But what were your ideas for the real altogether?
Oh, yeah, this one, I had some ideas that I put in I thought would be fun. But yeah, I love those cards. That takes me back because I remember doing that episode with you. Those are some of my favorite episodes, personally, is the draft episodes. Those were a lot of fun, all the cards. Even the stuff that looks weird now in 2023, I love thinking back to that.
Yeah, it's great to go back and think
about it. And try to think. Yeah, like why was so-and-so here? Like, and stuff like that. That's very fun. But so, I had an interesting kind of ideas for matches here. The first one I think you may get a kick out of is a Suzuki special match here, where it is all of Suzuki Goon's basically incarnations. I would have Minoru Suzuki, Rin Narita, Desperado, and Hokuto Omori and Naruki Doi as a 5-man team versus Zack Sabre Jr., Taichi, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Taka Michinoku, and Takashi Sugiura.
Yeah.
At the 10-man match. All of Sugiura's factions and various incarnations are together. I had an idea for, let's see, I have Kenno, this is just Congo, pretty much. Kenno, Jima Soya, Ohara, and Hiroki versus Bishamon, Shota Umino, Atsuki Aoyagi, and Rising Hayato. Mm-hmm. Because you have Kenno feuding with all kinds of different groups, so I want him to have an all Noah team versus the other groups. So that was kind of my idea.
I was thinking, if Kenno still holds on to at least one of the tag titles that he has right now with the All Japan World Tag Team title and the Open the Twin Gate title, maybe we'll get a defense on that show.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I didn't even think of that, but I love that idea there. That would be good. I have... this is an interesting one. The old guy versus youngster match. We've got Yuji Nagata, Tenkozy, Satoshi Kojima, and Hiroshi Tenzan, Togi Makabe, Kazuyuki Fujita, Yoshinari Ogawa, and Masanobu Fuchi
as a 7-man
team. The legends of the companies versus Yuma Anzai, Ryo Inoue, Taishi Ozawa, Yasutake Yano, Kosei Fujita, Ryohei Oiwa, and Yuto Nakashima.
7-on-7.
Very easy match here. Bullet Club tribute match here as well. We've got Finlay, Evil, Yujiro, Sho, and Gato. They take on Tetsuya Naito, Shingo Takagi, Shuji Ishikawa, Hayata, and Yohei as a 5-man team. LIJ merging with all kinds of different things here.
And nowadays, there is no company in the world that doesn't have a Bullet Club team.
I know, right? Yes. Did I not predict that on Jay White cribbing the Bullet Club name?
And sure. Bullet Club Gold, baby.
Oh, yeah. That's where EOP may be headed now that the storyline's setting up. Love it. I have Maru Fuji and Kenta returning as a team. And, I mean, when you think of legendary teams, there's only one team that you can really match up with them. And this spans two different companies, this team. They're finally coming back together. They teamed a long time ago. They've teamed very rarely since, and now they're back together. Which team do you think I'm talking about to face Maru Ken?
They've teamed?
They teamed long ago. Over 15 years.
Is it Kojima and Tenzan?
They were in the first match, the old man's match.
So, oh, yeah, right. That's right. Yeah. They teamed long ago. I don't know. Who is it?
One of them is a legendary performer. There's only one team. I know it's right on the tongue, but I'm going to reveal it anyway.
Is it Keiji Muto?
That's exactly right. Muto's back. No. The team that you really want to see, and you know who I'm talking about, Hiroshi Tanahashi and Yoshitatsu.
Of course.
Yes. Yeah. Team from the past, because they were together at the Baba show as a team versus Maru Fuji and Kenta. So I thought about that. And the main event, I mean, I just, one way or the other, it's going to be the top guys of each company versus the other top guys of each company. So I don't think that there's any real wrong way to go. No. I kind of had an idea for Okada and Kaito to actually team together, so Kaito doesn't get embarrassed. Like, put them and Kento on the same team, you know, like as a six-man team. And you can even have something where Okada turns on Kaito, that sort of thing, if you want to do it.
One way or another, Kaito Kiyomiya is going to be the Kenzo Suzuki of that show.
Maybe so. But, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, it's going to be some version of that, you know, Kaito Kento and somebody, or maybe Kaito and Okada and somebody, or maybe Suwama's in there, or, you know, how is Jake going to fit in? Because he's technically a freelancer. It's not like they didn't use any freelance guys on the first two altogether shows, so it's not like that, you know, takes you out.
Yeah, yeah. I think he will be in because, yes, they used freelance talent on that show, but that freelance talent had a background in at least one of the three companies.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't like great Sasuke on that show.
No?
One or two.
I think he was on the second one because that was in Tohoku.
Ah, okay. They had a Michinoku Pro match. Okay. Well, yeah, so I guess Jake could be in, though.
Sure.
You know, it still kind of defeats the spirit of it, technically. It's not like it's, you know, if he's the champion, why not, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sounds like good ideas. I mean, I haven't deeply thought about it, but the tag title match that came up, and it's definitely going to be the guys that were on the press conference. They are going to be in a big match, definitely. So it's going to be a fun show.
Oh, I have one more match. I forgot this. The real main event of the show. Mm. Toru Yano, Muhammad Yone, and Black Mensa Ray as a team taking on Akitoshi Saito, Dick Togo, and ATM in my six-man just ridiculous people match of every company.
Yes.
I had to mention that one.
Truly
that
was ridiculous, yeah.
That was my genius match idea that I had.
Yeah. What I took away from this announcement, too, was that there will be different seat sections in Sumo Hall. There will be a seat section for each company. So you can go into the All Japan block if you're an All Japan fan. Wonder how that's going to work out, if they even let you into the Noah block if you, for example, wear an All Japan shirt, much like when you go to a football match in the away team's jersey and you go to the home block and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting because obviously New Japan's going to have a lot more fans there.
Yeah.
Than the other two.
Yeah.
So how are they going to work this out? It's not like they're equal, you know, on an equal playing field when it comes to just numbers.
No.
And so I don't know how they're going to handle that.
And that's another point that I wanted to discuss with you, Dylan, because overall, this announcement of All Together was very well received. And I think that's going to be a very, very exciting show. I'm hyped for it, definitely. But I saw from the Pro Wrestling Noah bubble that there is a lot of concern about that show. Of course, due to the fact how Noah was presented on the Keiji Muto show, and most notably the Kaito Kiyomiya fiasco, you could say. So the Noah fans are very hesitant, and some are very hostile against that show and don't want to watch it and don't want Noah to work together with New Japan anymore. So I can understand that from that point. From that point of view, what's your stance on that?
They did what they had to do to outsell Wrestle Kingdom on the Muto show, because without Naito and Okada and those guys, it wouldn't have been the same. So, right. I mean, they bitched themselves out, pretty much, and particularly Kaito, and I think did a lot. The damage is done with him already, like, to be honest. So, even if he does something geeky on this show, I think he was already so low after that Okada. I mean, that was just, like, a complete character assassination to me.
Yeah.
And that's why I said, as soon as that show ended, I said, he has to drop the title. Like, you can't be the champion when you do that to somebody under any circumstances. And I just think that he's already so low, and then we see him moving him back. Now Go is really kind of the face of the company again. They're trying to build him up as that, it seems. So I don't think there's any more damage that can be done that hasn't already been done to Kaito. And, you know, and I think that this... It just is what it is, you know.
It is what it is, and it's not like, much like I said, it's not going to be the same as the Tokyo Dome show, because the Tokyo Dome show, they had to do singles matches to sell out the show. They had to do big matches, but this is different. This is not going to be a show where they have to, like, load up the card to sell out the building, because the name itself will lead to lots of tickets being sold, so... I guess all the promotions will have that chance to protect themselves, and it will work out fine, much better than the Kaito thing.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at the, and all of it, I mean, the Noah fans are right about the Dome show, but that was a different situation, because it's like all of them, like, Amakusa lost in, like, really fast fashion to Hiromu. Yeah. You know, Naito got the
And they took the title of him as well.
Well, we'll talk about that the show, but yeah, the Naito got the big win. Like, the show was headed by all of that, and it was really, on all honesty, it was really more of a Muto show than a Noah show. You know, I think most people could see that. Ultimately, look, more the inspiration for this show, like, altogether at 10, is going to be more like the first two shows, like from 2011 and 12. I would say. I remember us talking about them, and we kind of, our conclusion was basically like, it ended when it should have. Like this concept really, because I thought the second show was a big step down from the first.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so it's like, they got what they needed to. I have no problem with the second show, but after that it was good. And now we're in this weird circumstance with the pandemic that nobody could have foreseen, and it's led to this moment to where, and the timing is right for it. It's a good thing, but look to those shows for inspiration. It's going to be a vibe show. I think they're going to go out of their way to not do what they did at the Dome show, which was like it was basically making a statement, more or less, for New Japan to look so much bigger than Noah. This was not, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be for all the companies to kind of just be all together.
All together. That is exactly it. Yes. So I guess that's all we can say about it at this point. I think we'll get some match announcements when the show is nearing, but of course that's only in June, and we're basically now on the road, Dylan, to the Golden Week, and there was this big Pro Wrestling Noah show from Sendai drawing 1,277 fans in the ZBO Arena Sendai. I would say that's an okay draw. New Japan has been there too, and they've mostly drawn between 1,900 and 2,200 fans there. One show was even less than the Noah show. That was the semi-final in the New Japan Cup 2021. But that was during the pandemic, so you can really rate these shows. So
yeah,
1,200 fans is okay. It doesn't sound like it's anything impressive or anything. And yeah, they had a show that was filled with big title matches, and the biggest of them, of course, the Lunatic Gate match between Jake Lee and Katsuhiko Nakajima that ended in 23 minutes with Jake Lee's high kick. What did you think about the match?
I got to say, I thought Nakajima looked really good in the match. I thought he really impressed me. I like that he was able to stand up. I think a big issue with this Jake thing, more than anything else, and I like Jake in the match too, to be honest with you. I think that he looked very powerful and devastating and all of that, especially yep. the finishing. You know, I thought they did a good job. But a big problem with this Jake deal in Noah is look at them in that press conference. He towers over Nakajima. Like, he is way bigger.
Yeah,
so
he's really tall.
And much bigger than the Noah roster, for the most part. And I think that's kind of exposing the Noah main event squad yeah. as smaller, which we knew. If you follow All Japan, you already know that they have a lot bigger
yes.
stars.
And so, you saw it when Maro Fuji came into the ring after the match. He's really small in comparison to Jake Lee. And, I mean, if they put, for example, if they put Takashi Sugiura against Jake Lee, that would be even worse, I guess.
And that's the thing. Like, even the tough guys are not as tall as him, or physically imposing. So it's like he's really exposing a lot of this roster at the moment.
A very good point, actually, on your part. Yeah, think about that.
Yeah, that's something I noticed when I thought the angle at the press conference was really cool, actually.
Mm-hmm, me too.
With him knocking him out, I thought it was a really cool deal and like put over him as a threat, dangerous. But then you just see him, like, if you just look at a screenshot of them standing together, it's like this is ridiculous. like, overall. And I think that really hurt. That really hurts having him around as the top champion, is that he's so much bigger than the other guys. But hopefully they can find a way around that, with this. And I thought the match itself did. It's not like, Nakajima didn't look like a threat in his own right here, with his kicks and his strikes, his chops and everything. I thought Jake Lee looked really great at the end. I mean, they basically just set it up as the destruction of Nakajima was like the end of this match. He hit that huge running big boot. Nakajima did a great sell of it too. He like did a backflip on it. It looked like awesome. Great finish. I thought the match was paced very well. I thought this was like a lot better than the Kaito match, personally. In terms of excitement, it wasn't like Jake just beat him up for 99% of the match.
No, but it was very, very much designed to put him over as this.
Yeah.
This imposing figure, because the story of the match basically was that he is just more dominant than Nakajima. Nakajima, as you said, he looked good and he did what he could do. But in the end, it was just Jake Lee who not only towered over him, but also used techniques that would imply that, for example, the Cobra Stretch, where he basically just... Yeah, he cranked Nakajima's head within the Cobra Stretch that once again exposed him as being much smaller than him.
Yeah, and hopefully it builds up to whoever beating him. I mean, I think you would have to think Go at this point would be the one to throw him. Hopefully that makes him it puts him over stronger when he beats Jake, because I think like this to me was a step in the right direction from the Kaito match and what they were doing there. I thought this was a much better version of what you would want to see. And I've always said it. I like Jake as a wrestler. I know some people are down on him. I never thought his wrestling skills were the thing that held him back, and I think he showed it a lot here. Charisma wise, I think Nakajima really outshined him in that area, just in terms of selling his facials, he carried himself.
He was great once again.
Yeah, and he needed to be, because of the big size difference that we talked about. He needed that edge, and he showed it, and he did. He had it, and that's what made the match really work at the end. So I think, to me, last month, with the Kaito and Jake match, I was like 99.9% certain Jake would win that match. And I think they worked the match to just really put him over like as much as possible, even though, unfortunately, it led to a boring match. And I think and I thought the match was okay. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't even good. I wouldn't even recommend it, really. This one, I would definitely recommend it. I thought it was, a pretty darn great match. Like, honestly, like a well-worthy match. Not anything that'll threaten match of the year by any stretch of the match of that in the initiation, but I think this was a successful match overall. I think the last one was, that felt like a real not great scenario, and I think this was a step in the right direction.
I agree with that statement, yes. After the match, much like I said, Maro Fuji came out to challenge, because the story that they are doing, you said that Jake Lee is an outsider, he is a freelancer, and they call him an invader. Nakajima did in this storyline. He wanted to represent Noah, and now it's Maro Fuji's task to challenge Jake Lee in Sumo Hall on May the 4th. That's going to be tough, because Maro Fuji doesn't have a lot anymore. He's very broken down, but that's the story that they are going with, that Noah tries to get the title back from the invading force in Jake Lee. And Maro Fuji is the next step in that storyline. And much like you said, the logical end to that story would be Go Shiozaki. And Shiozaki came out here to announce his return. Interesting enough, they brought up on commentary that he already was out there in October, so 7 months ago, where he was wearing the same shirt and where he also said that he would be making a comeback. So what that told me is that they maybe expected him to be back earlier, but something happened in between, maybe, that he couldn't come back earlier. So they are bringing him back now, and they needed someone in between to maybe be the champion and also new challengers, or old challengers in that aspect, with Nakajima and also Maro Fuji. And that Go will now quickly be pushed to the top to face Jake Lee sometime in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with Jake is I like him as a wrestler, but he looks like a threat on the roster in Noah. I think that's the thing that's really helping this move along. So I'm a little more optimistic about it than I was when he won the title. Like I said, I was really down on it and just thought, oh, this is how low it's gotten to where they basically had to put it on him. I think with the size difference that we said, I think he could be a credible threat and hopefully put over somebody like a Go, like you said, that I thought. Charisma-wise, I don't see him as that top star, to be honest with you, even now. But he may be an invader, Striga, but he's also a sexy invader, because he leads the good-looking guys. So what Maro Fuji's not really counting, in my opinion. And yeah, Maro Fuji, he is broken down, but more importantly, I think he's mentally checked out in almost all of his matches. Like, this is a guy who just doesn't care. That's what I see when I watch any of his matches. So I'm hopeful that this title match will bring a new gear that we haven't seen from him in a long time out, because I think that he needs it to be in the Sumo Hall main event. And I like that they're doing it now, because in all honesty, to me, I said it on the last show, I did, when we talked about the show last month, me and Dean did a show, and I said he needs to think about winding it down. Like, after his performance on that show, I think he's too busy with office stuff, behind the scenes work, maybe he doesn't care as much, but for whatever the reasons, maybe he's just too broken down and it's driven him out of that standard. But I think he's a guy that needs to think about retirement very soon. Yeah. And I think if you're going to get anything out of him as a main event run, because I think there's juice left in that orange to squeeze out of him going for the title and defending Noah.
I mean, sure, the story is always there.
But I think that they should do it now. Mm. It was a good idea to do it now, because he's not going to get any better. His motivation is not going to come back anymore unless something really extravagant happens and Noah just like totally flips on its head and becomes the number one promotion or something like that. You know, like, I don't think that motivation for him is coming back either. So if you're going to do something, do it now while he still can physically to some extent, and hopefully that you can work it out and it'll mean something for Jake. So I think it's actually a good idea. I thought that they might just go ahead and flip Go into the main event right away. Mm-hmm. But I think this is a good idea to get this out of, like, get this Maro Fuji title run out of the way. Not a title run, but a challenge out of the way, and just see what you can get. Because I think you can, I think they can make it work now. If we talk about it in a year from now, I don't know if I'll be saying the same thing.
Yeah, so that was a main event. First title change of the night came in the semi-main event with Rise and Fall. That couldn't be more appropriate in that aspect here. Hayata regained the GHC Junior Heavyweight title, much like most people expected. Amaxa's reign, not very long. And, I mean, he was there when they needed him, but now it feels like he just dropped the title. He went in there, did what he had to do, and lost to Hayata, 13 minutes. Man, with him too, you said it, Hiromu Takahashi beat him handily at this show. He now lost the title. They repackaged him not too long ago, but now it seems like that all that is out the window once again.
He had a good month when he was a champion, and then that Hiromu match happened, and I think that was, like, the writing was on the wall then, in my opinion, and, well, here we are. And then when Hayata came back, it was definitely on the wall.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel like any bigger of a star than he was as Hal, to be honest. I think he's a great wrestler, mm-hmm. and this title run gave him that. Because the Hiromu match made him look bad, but he was great in it. Like, and it was a really fun match. for what they could do. And he's a great, great performer. Like, I love his wrestling. I think he's honestly one of the absolute best talents as a junior heavyweight in Japan. And I felt that way for a long time. He just finally got an opportunity to show it. So even though it was only a few months, he got to show it. And I think now more people recognize just how great that he is, even though he wasn't pushed as much before. And I don't think he'll be pushed as much again. I think he's probably...
Yeah.
You know, it just is what it is with these big companies. If you're not a champion, you're on the bench if you're in the junior division. I think that's where we're at with him.
And there is a lot of people on this roster. A lot of people. That, man, this show was full of dudes. Jesus Christ. Yeah, and he's going to be one of them. Maybe he's going to go back to the junior tag title scene every once in a while.
I think the world revolves around Stinger in the Noah Junior division, as we saw here with Hayata, how many times do we have to do the same thing? I mean, you know, like, even if you're a fan of Hayata's, like, is this really his best usage to be the champion again? I don't see who this is for.
No, especially because we just had that run last year.
And the year before. And the year before that.
What else can you do?
Yeah. I mean, like, there is nothing he could do that we haven't already seen. And I didn't even like it the first time. So, let alone fifth time. I don't understand it at all. And this match was obviously the worst of Amakusa's reign that he had, unfortunately.
It was a nothing match.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was like a totally
average. The semi-main of that show.
Totally average match, which that's the best you could hope for a Hayata match.
Well, yeah. Better than average was the match for the GHC national title. Sky's the limit, I guess, both guys. I really like both guys, actually. I think that they've been working hard in recent months. It came around with El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. I didn't really like him at first because he didn't have any edges that really stood out to me. But he's been working hard. I really like the matches that he had for the national titles so far. And here he defended against Jack Morris. And I kind of expected a title change, to be quite honest, because I thought that they would push Jack Morris. But apparently they still want to hold on to Wagner Jr. Yeah, I really liked what they brought to the table. And they brought a table to the match as well, which was they worked around as well here. Kind of a surprising finish in 23 minutes when he just did the moonsault press. And that was just it. Noticeable moment of the match also was when Jack Morris hit the Tiger Driver. And the Tiger Driver is very over with the crowd now, because when he debuted, he immediately beat Kaito Kiyomiya with that move. And of course, it's a legacy move in Pro Wrestling Noah as well. Jack Morris hit the Tiger Driver and Wagner kicked out of that. So that was his big calling card that did not work out. So in the end, he lost the match. Thought this was very good.
Yeah. I really like this match, actually. I think that I totally agree with everything you said. And this is kind of what gives me a little hope about the Marufuji deal next month. When Wagner came in, I mean, he was fine. Not, like, terrible or anything, but not anything special at all. Like,
another dude on the roster.
Yeah, exactly. But once they gave him this title, look at how he stepped his game up. Yeah. I think he's really... This title reign is a great title reign to me. Like, this is exactly what you want especially from a secondary title. He feels way elevated from where he was at when he won the title. Because remember, when he beat Inamura for it, everyone was down on him. It was like,
nobody expected that, because everyone expected that would be Inamura's moment. Because him as the hometown hero, so to speak, went against the Lucha guy from the outside. But Wagner did it. He defeated him, and he had a great match with Manabu Soya as well. So, yeah, very good title.
All of his matches have been really good, and I think he's done great in them, like, let alone them being good. It's not like he's the most dynamic wrestler. He's not doing crazy stuff or anything. He just wrestles good. Like, and I like him. I like his matches.
Yeah.
Jack is another one that's really improved in his time in Noah. I think he's getting better each month out. He started out, and I kind of had a feeling that this is how his run would go, because I remember I talked about it on this show. If you look at when he first debuted in Noah, everyone was like, who the hell is this guy? You know, pretty much. But then he did everything he could to get himself out there. He did interviews with all of these people on the English-speaking side, trying to get his name out there. He really had a hunger for this, and in the 7-8 months since, he's really shown that drive to become better. I think both these guys have done great, and I really enjoyed this match overall. But I'm with you. I thought it was going to be a title change, but I'm glad they didn't. I think he deserves to have an even longer run.
Yes, I think both deserve something at this point right now.
True.
Wagner's title run, and Jack Morris, much like you said, he completely worked out for Pro Wrestling Noah, and they're trying hard with different people on this roster, and just few cases up until now have really worked out for him, but Jack Morris definitely is one of them, and he is really one of these examples that Japanese companies want. They want to find a guy that is affordable and that gets over with the crowd.
And that now is... he feels like their guy, not like an indie guy that, you know, that had a name and now he's a Noah. He feels like a Noah guy. Like, both of these guys honestly do. And one thing I wanted to mention too, Strig, was it's even weirder that they didn't do the title change just because of the faction. You know, I mean, all the other members have titles now.
That's true.
I thought this would be the one where he would get his, you know, you could have the good looking guys be a dominant faction. A very easy storyline.
Anthony Green doesn't have one either.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But, you know, they still have four titles in the group anyway, so you could still do the big pose and Anthony Green would just be there, you know, overall. Maybe that could lead to a tag title shot, him trying to get gold himself or something as well. Mm-hmm. I thought that they would have all the guys have the titles. So that's a very easy storyline, much like the Invader type of deal. That's just like a very classic, easy deal to do, and I thought they would go with it. But like I said, I'm actually happy they didn't, because I think that I really am into this Dr. Wagner run, and hopefully he continues it for at least a couple more defenses.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well, so, or he loses the next defense, actually, now that I think about it. Wrestling.
Who's he wrestling?
Hideki.
Oh, Hideki. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, sure. He will lose, probably. but he beat Funaki, too, and nobody expected that.
Did he beat Funaki?
Yeah, he beat Funaki for the title.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Ah, Hideki. He's done good. He put over Kaito better than anyone else in the final. Yeah, I don't look as Hideki as like a one of those guys, that Muto, but who knows? Like, who knows what will happen?
Yeah. What definitely happened was a title change once again in the junior heavyweight scene, Dylan. Time for a change was the topic of that match, but what we got in reality was more of the same.
I will say this. I think this run has been just awful for Stinger. Like their matches for the first 3 months of the year have been atrocious. Like, legitimately some of the worst matches of the year. It's really lowered my opinion on both of those men as performers. And Hayata I already had a low opinion on. But I think this wasn't as bad as those simply because it was so much shorter.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's the one thing that I also have to say about that.
Yeah, like, the wrestling itself was not any better, really. Like, it wasn't very good, but I think it was not as offensive as it usually is, because I think the other one, like, absolutely terrible, and this is just like, this is kind of like an average match, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree, but like you said, it lowers my opinion, especially that I had of Eita, because I really figured at one point in his career, when he was dropped out of RED, there really was a chance for him to turn face and become one of the key figures in Dragon Gate. But this run that he has had in Noah is not good.
He's even worse because they tried to push him as a singles last year, and that was just as bad, almost. Maybe not as bad as this, but it was bad.
And they once again are doing the storyline where Yoshinari Ogawa now turns on his tag partner. We've seen that multiple times before.
Yeah. What happened to the change? I thought it was time for a change.
It was time for a title change. So
the title's changed, and I'm happy about that. I think we'll get better matches now, at least.
Yeah, Yoa and Tadasuke look like a good team.
Yeah, they're good. Like, I like them, honestly. I've always liked Tadasuke. I think I've always been like a secret Tadasuke fan. Yohei I used to really hate because they did some really stupid stuff in the hooligans era of Noah, as I call it, with him. But I think as time has gone along, I think I like him better now than I used to. I think he's actually a very fun mid-card babyface type of guy. You know, he can be a good tag wrestler. We've seen him in multiple tag iterations now. So I've turned the corner on Yohei a little bit. A unique wrestler. I don't always love everything about him, but I'll take these two over what we've been seeing a million times
over. Yeah. I'm still not too optimistic for the times really changing because that junior tag title scene has been terrible for years now.
Oh, God was just going to win him back again with somebody else, if not Ada. Because what happened, remember they did a turn with Hayata and Ogawa, and then they turned again, and then who was the champions? And then, that's the thing, like, we saw this turn last month, but
the
they
notes,
were...
I mean, the notes we have on Stinger, on the German version of Cage Match, are so funny, because Hayata has joined and turned on Stinger, like, three times.
And last month they did the same thing, and they were still the champions. I didn't understand it because they won, and then there was a turn after anyway. And it's insane. Like the Stinger, I don't want to go there. The thing is, they take me there, Strick. They don't let me live my life away from this because they give us more of this stuff that I do not want. I am not a happy camper right now with this Stinger, but hopefully. We can all just pray. We can pray that this is all the end of Stinger in the title scene and let them just go off and do their own horrible thing, like with whatever this Ogawa verse he has here. I just want them away from the titles and let them do their own thing.
I fail to understand why the junior tag title is always above the heavyweight tag title.
Yeah.
Because heavyweight tag title matches are usually much better.
Oh,
and this was the case once again here. I mean, I don't know. But the volcanic explosion, Dylan, Takashi Sugiura and Shuhei Taniguchi became the new GHC Tag Team Champions. They finally are doing something again with Taniguchi, who has been on the undercard for a long time now. And it feels like that this trust that they put back in him has really rejuvenated the guy because he seems to be on fire with this tag team that he has going with the Sugiura. And I thought that he was really good in this match as well. And this finishing sequence I really liked with this half Nelson suplex he hit on Inaba. So for him, that's a great role. For Sugiura, that's a great role. Questionable what will happen now with Inaba and Kitamiya. They'll probably drop down the card. But match-wise, this was good.
Oh, yeah, this is a great match to me. I thought this was probably the match of the night.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. And I liked the main event, the national title, and this one. Like, I thought all three were around the same level. If you said any one of those three were how you ranked, I think I wouldn't argue with you. But this was my personal favorite. And I tell everybody about Taniguchi, man. I said it last month. That was my favorite match of that show, was Sugiura versus Taniguchi. And now we see them in the tag match here, and he's great again. Like, that's the thing. He's the most criminally underrated guy because he'll forever be stained by his bad gimmicks that he's had, but never his talent, because whenever he's got to just be himself, he's been great. Look back at 2018, him and Mar Fuji.
Yeah, there was a point back in, I think, 2020-21, where I was advocating for him to get a heavyweight title run. Because at that time, it felt like that he still had something going for him, but then he dropped down the card dramatically, and that's probably not going to happen again, but this role for him is perfect.
And I mean, who better than Sugiura to have as a partner as well, who is just completely amazing as a performer, as he always is. He's another guy that's really felt motivated. And what about Kitamiya and Inaba? They deserve a lot of credit to me because, I mean, let's face it, a lot of the divisions lately have been rough in NOAH, whether it's the heavyweight title, the junior titles, or even the tag title, junior tag titles. There's been a lot of bad stuff and a lot of bad booking, a lot of uninteresting people in these main events and a lot of geeks hanging about. But they have constantly delivered in all of their matches, and they're a team that they just finally, two guys that I've always seen something in, and they finally gave them something, and they did as great as I knew they would. You know, it's same thing with Taniguchi. It's like these guys, I made this point, I don't know if you saw the great show the other day with T-Hawk.
I did.
Yeah, it's like that match, everyone went crazy over that main event, said it was the match of the year, best match in Glee, and all that other stuff. And I was like, man, this talent was always there. You know, like, we could have had this a year and a half ago. It's just he's been one of these guys that's been on the bench forever. And I feel the exact same about all of these guys. It's like this talent could have been shown a year ago if they wanted. It's just it's been hidden. And now they let him have a chance. And unfortunately, I agree with you that they're probably heading back to, you know, match two heroes with Inamura is probably where they're going. But they deserve better, and they proved it here. Much like Amakusa in his title reign, they proved at least now that they're – because a lot of people wouldn't agree with it. They might think these guys are maybe bland or they're just not interesting. But I think if you just give them something to do, they can be guys on the roster and good guys and guys that you have. And I just I hope that they at least keep them in mind for the tournament, the N1. And if we could get that, at least maybe let them have a good run. I don't expect any kind of world title success for either of these two at any point, to be honest. But at least maybe give them a shot at the national title. Maybe even get a world title shot. I think they can both do good in there. And Kitamiya has been there for so long that he has a connection with the fans even, that you can do that. I hope that they see something in him. But I agree with you ultimately that they're probably going to drop.
Yeah. So right now, Lucha all over the world really feels hot right now, and everybody seemingly wants to have their slice of the pie here, and Pro Wrestling Noah is no different. And they also are bringing in some people for the show in May. And here, this was a big mess, to be quite honest. The Lollapalooza Fiesta, giant mess with Dralístico, Dragon Bane, and Alejandro going over Extreme Tiger, Alpha Wolf, and Lancelot. Because Extreme Tiger got knocked out, I think, from this moonsault that Dragon Bane did. Moonsault double knee or something like that, was it? Yeah. I really don't think that these guys have anything going for them that really make them stand out in any way.
That was scary, that injury.
And they just continued to wrestle. I mean, what was the ref doing there in this situation? I mean, Extreme Tiger is just lying in the middle of the ring. The other guys just are going on and on. And it took like 1 minute for the ref to notice that this guy is knocked out.
Yeah, bad job. I think that deserves a lot of criticism. You're 1,000,000% correct, Striga. That has to be on the referee and everybody. Like, you know, like there should be somebody, medical staff.
Dragon Bane was checking for him, and I think he noticed that he was out, but they still kept going. And he was lying in the middle of the ring like a sack of rice, and they were just hitting moves and moves and moves on him. That was, much like you said, crazy.
I think from their perspective, they're trying to impress and try and make whatever they can. Sure. They're taking everything they can, you know, and that's why the referee should have stopped it, you know, because like the wrestlers are just going to keep going. We saw in that AEW match where Reynolds got knocked out at a time, and it's like they just kept going. That's when other people need to protect everybody from themselves and get involved. And unfortunately it didn't happen. So a very poor job on that advantage. Like you said, I mean, I can't even grade the match because the injury just...
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, these guys ultimately, I get what they're trying to do, like have something different in the card. There's nothing wrong with that, you know, having a variety of the mid-card. But there are some guys that probably, that they've been around and they haven't shown anything.
It's not going anywhere because they are always working with the same guys. I mean, they are just working with each other and not with the rest of the roster usually. I mean, here was Alejandro was in it, but it's not like with Elio de Dr. Wagner Jr. I mean, he's working with everybody on the roster, but those guys are always just working with themselves here, and that's not a good look.
I agree with you. Like, take two of these guys you see something in.
Yeah,
but not like and just have them be normal parts of the junior division for a tour or two.
There's no reason for them to put so many guys on this card. I mean, why is there six guys on this in this match?
And a waste of money on top of it.
That is something else. Yeah, where is all this money coming from for all these guys on this card, man?
Well, you have to think that it's somebody backstage that has a strong affinity for Lucha that is trying to force this onto these cards and doing that. So I think, like I said, just pick two of these guys and let them be normal parts, and maybe they'll even get even better, you know, overall, you know, working with some of the other juniors, some of the different styles they have. But just wrestle each other over and over. That's not accomplishing anything other than, you know, maybe, like, just like I said, this, the only purpose of this is just to have this match is something different on the card. And that's all it's doing.
Yeah. More guys, 10-man tag match. We at least got a nice moment between Jinsei Shinsaki and Ninja Mac in that match. Match was all right on the undercard, 14 minutes. Kenno, Shinsaki, Shuji Kondo, Hajime Ohara, and High 69 defeated Maro Fuji, Kyumiya, Ninja Mac, Atsushi Kotoge, and Seki Yoshioka. It's just so funny that Kaito is just back and just like nothing happened. He just dropped it back in. He's smiling. He's coming out there in his colorful dress. He's just good old Kaito. And nothing ever happened, seemingly.
Might makes right, Striga.
Yeah.
That's what this match unquestionably proved. I don't know how it proved that, per se, with Shinsaki winning, but I mean, it proved it, for sure. But yeah, Kaito's going nowhere. You know, yeah. I don't have any expectations for that. I think, you know, at least he got to dodge going to America with Muto. Like, that's the only good thing that's happened to him recently.
Yep. For the first official Yoshi match in Noah history, this was very unspectacular, I thought, with Maya Yuki going over Sumire Natsu in just 6 minutes. I mean, it was good for what it was, and my takeaway was that Natsu's Shining Wizard is much better than Kaito Kiyomiya still.
I buy it. I can definitely buy that. I mean, it's hard to be worse. I think you could do a better Shining Wizard.
I'm not sure about that, but Sumire definitely can.
I can. If you don't have confidence in yourself, I mean, it's hard to do. Like I said, it's hard to do worse than what he does. So Sumire, I will give it to her. I mean, it was 5 minutes, right?
You know, 6:31. Yeah.
No, 6:31. I mean, Natsu brought her flogger there. She whipped Yuki once. Suwama must have been smiling somewhere out there. That's about the only thing that he might be the only one that liked this match, because
maybe.
I mean, it wasn't a bad match or anything. It's just, what is this accomplishing again? Other than just, hey, this is something different on the undercard.
Yep.
You know, it's not like this impressed anybody.
No, and the crowd, the finish can't be over with the crowd, because nobody knew what this hold, the whiteout that Yuki used, was. So the finish was very cold as well. And yeah, they just came in there cold and went out cold, I guess.
Do you think that this is going to lead to some kind of bigger women's division in NOAH? Because that's a lot of people.
Yeah, they already booked another match for May 4. Yeah. So they are bringing in more women. Hey, maybe you mentioned great. Michiko Miyagi seemingly is out of the group. So maybe that's someone that they are looking at.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have a lot of interesting options, so to speak. I'm looking at the card right now for that May 4th show.
Oh, yeah, they have 12 matches. It's Maya Yuki and Saki of Colors against Sumire Natsu and Ryomi Tsunami.
I guess Yuki and Natsu are kind of their preferred two right now, because they've been in every match so far. I mean, Yuki's a great choice. Like, she's awesome. Sure. And Natsu's a fun gimmick worker, you know. Like, I wouldn't say she's like this great wrestler that's going to put on bangers, you know, all over the place. But
Ryo and Mitsunami is very good as well.
Yeah, Mitsunami's good. Saki is up and down. You know, it's like sometimes in her team, like Galaxy Punch, I think is great, and then she'll be at Stardom. I think, huh? Like, you know, she's very confusing overall. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Do you think there could be a title that, you know, GHC Women's title?
Definitely not within the next couple of months, and there is no use for a title with, like, four women.
Yeah, I think they're taking baby steps forward, but I think we may get there one day, to be honest. I think by the end of the year, we may see something like that more planned. I think they should, if they're smart, I mean, who's to say what they're actually going to do? Like, it's hard to predict anything Noah does, to be honest. But, you know, if they're smart, they will look at the cast of women right now, because the Joshi scene has plenty of people you could look to for this sort of thing. And if they're really smart, they should actually use some of their fellow companies in this cyber fight thing, which they are so hesitant to do with.
That is, yeah, crazy, right?
Yeah, you could put together some dream matches that maybe you couldn't do in a Tokyo Joshi Pro at some point. If you were smart, like, you could bring in Miyu Yamashita versus somebody you could bring in. Like, Rina Yamashita could come in there. Great freelance talent. You've got different companies. Like you said, just look at the Gleet playbook, but don't do it like they did it, where just the outsiders would always beat their homegrown talents. overall, just don't do that. But if you could get, I would say, if they want to do a good division, I think, and I mean, to be honest, in the Joshi scene, there are some companies that only have four or five, you know, Seedling and yeah. Sentai Girls have like five, six people. So it's like, I would say if you could get a good solid 6 to 8 women to be a part of this division, and then sprinkle in freelancers when necessary, you yeah. can have a fun alternative of the show. And unlike the Lucha stuff, I think you that will actually have a purpose if you build a title around it. So mm-hmm. I would like to see it. I don't know if they're going to do it or not. I mean, I think they'll build to it, like I said, but I think that they need to keep doing this for a while. Because like you said, just at the very least, if Yukihi is the project person for this, which she should be because she's awesome, give her some time to get over in front of the North fans.
Yeah, there's some other talent that they could use. For example, Saori Ano. She just dropped the Ice X Infinity title.
Stardom. She's going to be on the Stardom show.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. But she's great, too, if you pick her.
Ayame Sasamura from 2AW is always someone that you can use. So there's different options on the table. Yep, definitely. So what is left was an opening match with Anthony Green against Taishi Osawa in 5 minutes, which was okay. And, of course, the no-holding-back match. Hideki Suzuki, Timothy Thatcher, and Saxon Huxley. That's Hideki's new group. They defeated Akitoshi Saito, Yoshiki Nomura, and Sean Legacy. Legacy is a guy that came in from the tryout camp they had, I think, late last year on the West Coast. He looked quite good here, I thought. Some nice high-flying moves from his side. Saxon Huxley, in the end, got the win over Saito, and I thought he just looked horrendous.
Oh, yeah, he's awful. Like, I mean, there's no real nice way to say it. The thing that he brings that... I agree with you about Legacy. I thought he looked really good. He looks like a guy, another gym that they found. You can say what you want about Noah, but they're... You know, besides that Lucha match, which really fell off the rails because of injury, you know, it's hard to really hold it against them in terms of a booking. Just if you look at their foreign talent they've got a lot of hits right now. Like, I think everybody's done pretty good, whether it's Thatcher, Jack, Wagner. Green has been a very solid undercard worker. They formed a pretty decent group of outsiders, like foreign outsiders to come in. And I think Legacy can fit in into that level. And, you know, it looks good. Huxley, the thing with him is he's a terrible worker. That's undeniable. But he looks like Bruiser Brody, kind of. So he's big. He's hairy. He's, you know, they're trying to make him kind of like a wild man. I mean, we saw kind of All Japan do this with Valletta a few years ago. Like a very similar level of player, pretty much. And I guess they're just trying to get something out of this. But, I mean, that wasn't good, and it didn't really even last. You know, it's not like it stuck any. So I don't see a lot of upside in Huxley, personally. I think the best thing for him, if they were smart, I think they could build him up as a monster and, like, build to a main event match, like, one match, and that's it. And, like, then he goes. Like, you know, like, just build him up as a main event monster, something different, a unique opponent, and then he goes. Because, like, that's as far as he could go, to me.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, so let's look at the card for May 4. They have 14 matches announced for that show, Dylan. So it starts with Mohamed Yone in Super Crazy against Akitoshi Saito and Taishi Osawa. So Crazy's back. Atsushi Kotoge in Seki Yoshioka against Extreme Tiger and Lancelot. They're mixing them, the luchadors, in actually now with this card.
Yeah, good.
Next match 2, Sean Legacy, Stallion Rogers and Dragon Bane, and Alpha Wolf against Jack Morris, Anthony Green, Yohei and Tadasuke. Okay. Lots of guys on this undercard, man.
Tadasuke couldn't defend his tag titles?
No. Yohei and Tadasuke, they are both in this multi-man match.
Okay.
New Freedom Battle. Maya Yuki and Saki against Sumi Renatsu and Ryo Mitsunami.
That's something you didn't mention before. You didn't say they were fighting for freedom.
I mean,
the King of Freedom should show up for this match.
Oh, man. The King of Freedom, yeah.
Kai. See, that's his Wrestle 1 gimmick.
Amaksa, Yuta Miyawaki, and Alejandro, great team.
Yeah.
Rayface, Shuji Kondo, Hajime Ohara, and Hiroki. That should be a cool match.
Yeah, all talented juniors.
Yeah. Masa Kitamiya and Daiki Inaba face Katsuyuki Fujita and Masato Tanaka.
What?
Oh, Jesus.
This can't be good. I mean, it'll probably be a good match, but yeah. The end result I may not be as big of a fan of.
The GHC martial arts rules return with
Masakatsu
Funaki against Shinya Aoki.
This is what we wanted, Striga. You told me that this was your favorite match type in wrestling.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, did I just make that up?
Didn't get over in the first place.
Maybe he'll be... is this before or after the finals of the tournament for the UWF title in Gleet?
Oh, I'm not sure, actually.
Yeah, because Aoki's in it versus...
Yeah, he just squeezed out Hikaru Sato at that great show.
Oh, I love that match. Like, yeah, that was great. Such a... Yeah, and I love him. I hope he wins the title. And I think he would be great here. And if they could do that, if they could somehow form that, kind of intersperse him as like a Gleet UWF champion and kind of have him have his special matches on the card. Again, it looks to me like they're kind of trying to build this variety type of show with Noah, where you get the luchadors, now you have these shooters, and now you have a women's division, that type of thing. It's like you've got all these different styles. They're just throwing crap against the wall, trying to see what that sticks.
Yeah, that's definitely what they are doing. Oh my God.
Oh, now what?
Deus Ex Machina. The title of the next match. Yoshinari Ogawa and Chris Ridgeway against Eita and Daga.
Yes. Yes. That's what everyone wanted. I told you this was going to happen. They're going to win the tag titles again. They're not even letting him defend the titles on this show, and they're going to win it after the show.
No. I don't know what to tell you.
There's nothing you can tell me to make this better, Striga.
Wait a sec. I got something. Juego de los Dioses, the game of the gods, Dylan. Realistico versus Rey Escorpión.
Oh, he's awesome. Like, he's in Noah now? Okay, I'm a huge fan
Rey
of his.
Escorpión is good, yeah.
Yeah, great heel wrestler, like Rudo in Mexico, but like way underrated. He was always one of my favorites. I think he's awesome. Great theme music too, like one of my favorite lucha themes. He's a badass, like thick brawler lucha guy. Like he's great. Good base for Dralistico too.
That should be a good match. That's the crazy. That's the main event of that first half of the show, basically. The premium stage, it's called, as well. And then we go to the title matches, actually. Tag title, Takeshi Sugiura and Shuhei Taniguchi defend against Saxon Huxley and Timothy Thatcher. Good that Thatcher is in there with Huxley.
Yeah.
Junior title, Hayata defends against Ninja Mac. The match is called The Highest Peak, and the tag title match is called The Keep Exploding.
What?
Yeah, the tag title is called Keep Exploding.
How does that fit?
Maybe Yoshihashi is entering the match as the loose explosion.
The loose one is now in the match as well. I mean, he lost his tag title, so I'd be into that if Sugiura and Taniguchi versus Goto and Yoshihashi. Put that on all together.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, we had the volcanic eruption on this show, and now it's going to explode even more. Another.
The Highest Peak, Hayata versus Ninja Mac. Global standard for the national title. Wagner Jr. defends against Hideki Suzuki. Goshi Ozaki's return match called Back to the Ring. Goshi Ozaki, Kaito Kumiya, and Yoshiki Inamura against Kenno, Katsuhiko Nakajima, and Manabu Soya. Inamura finally up on the card. That's good.
Will they win?
I guess that Inamura will lose.
I mean, because there's no easy loss post on the other team. Maybe Go just pins Nakajima. You guys
maybe they'll do that. He should win, actually.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if they're building him up, he should win. Yeah. Surely. But, I mean, who knows?
Main event. GHC heavyweight title. Historical crossroad. Jake Lee against Naomichi Marufuji. This will be a long show. At least 5 hours, I would expect, because there's a lot of stuff on this card. Man.
You know, you've said it multiple times now that this would be a long show and how many matches there were. And with good reason. Because it's going to be a lot. I mean, there's nothing that really... I think the tag title match could get bad if Huxley is, primarily involved in it.
Mm.
And the junior title is not the highest peak of the division. I will say I disagree with this title on principle, but Ninja Mac is a lot of fun. I really like that guy.
Yeah.
I think he's been another good foreign addition to the roster. He's been a guy that's really proven himself and gotten over with the crowd. Everywhere he goes, they really always recognize him and respect his game. So we'll see what happens with that. The show overall, I'd say Rey Scorpion for me as a longtime Lucha fan is like super cool. I'm hyped for that. The Go return, it's great to finally have him back, and that match could be a banger. You know, like when you look at those six guys, there's a lot
of
great talent. A
lot of potential in that match.
Yeah, so I think that would probably be the match that I'm most looking forward to.
Mm.
And the main event, it's a legacy story. Again, very easy story, right? Like a legend going for the title against an invader. That's like super easy.
Yeah, easy underdog story for Maro Fujii. Much like you said at the beginning, Jake Lee saw tall. That really should work out.
Yeah, I don't think it would be like a great... Again, I don't think that'll threaten any match of the year ballots, but I could see them working this in a way to where it's a successful main event, kind of like this last match was. Ultimately, a very successful main event for what they wanted to do. I think that they will do that again with Maro Fujii. And I think that if he could take a bump like Nakajima did on that running big boot, that could be a great dramatic, like, you know, this is the end of the line for Maro Fujii. He just gets destroyed by Jake with that big kick. I could get into that.
Yeah, Maro Fujii gets destroyed. Then after the match, Goshi Ozaki comes out and the match is set up.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Hey, the one thing we forgot to mention with the All Together show, do you think that will... Does this mean no Cyber Fight Fest?
Yeah, that's a takeaway that a lot of people had because Noah is involved with that show. And usually at the beginning of June, they do the Cyber Fight Fest. And they should have announced it by now, right?
Yeah, I think they have before. So,
mm-hmm.
It looks like that may be off the table.
You said it with all the Cyber Fight companies. The real forbidden door is between Noah and all the other Cyber Fight companies.
Yeah, they will never work together. Like even just working together, even like once a year, was too much for Noah. They said we have to stop this.
Yeah, that's so weird. But yeah, that's
very weird.
Apparently off the table. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. That's the card we have for Pro Wrestling Noah. Should be a nice variety show, at least, with some good matches on the card, but a long one. Yes, I think so much for Pro Wrestling Noah for now, Dylan. Let's turn our attention to All Japan Pro Wrestling and the Champion Carnival that is going on. Wasn't able to watch the show from Sunday the 16th, because there were some technical issues that prevented the show from being uploaded until the time we did our recording. I think they announced that it would be uploaded a little later, and I see that now... Oh yeah, it has been uploaded now with the main event of Shuji Ishikawa and Suwama. And the Champion Carnival, we talked about the first show on our last show. We weren't really into that one. It was not a good show. What's your impression right now, a couple of days into the tournament?
Not really changed, I would say, from the first two shows. I think that the second show was better than the first one, for sure. And I think that the main event was the best match of the tournament, in my opinion.
Yeah, agreed.
And I like... The thing is, the tournament, if I hadn't watched the tournament, I think I'd be into this, actually, because I like a lot of what they're doing in terms of the booking and people getting upset wins and things like that. I think it's a really fun tournament in terms of what they do with the results, but the shows themselves feel really like there just isn't the energy I feel like that you need, especially on the first show with the tournament that you want. You want to kick things off in a great way. And the second show had some good matches, and the main event was really strong, but there's an energy missing in this tournament, I feel like, as of now.
I actually thought that the Nagoya show from Saturday, the 15th, was quite the turnaround in that tournament. I felt like that the crowd was very much into a lot of stuff that they put on this card. And also the crowd in Yokohama for the second show, I thought they were very into all the action that transpired there. For example, they really liked Cyrus. Cyrus went over Yuma Aoyagi in 7 minutes. And I gotta say, Cyrus has been good in this tournament. So that's to you, Dylan. You said it from the beginning that he will be good.
Are you now Team Cyrus, Strigger?
Well, I think he's okay. Still, I'm still not 100% coming around, but I like what he's doing in this tournament.
Okay.
And he beat Yuma Aoyagi on that show. He was very over there too. And what I want to say too is that Jun Saito and Rei Saito on the show in Yokohama put on their best performances to date in singles matches. So
I agree with that.
Yeah, that especially you like the Rei Saito match better, and I like the Jun Saito match better. So there's a lot of things going for these Saito brothers.
Yeah, they're both kind of the same. I just my expectations were a little lower for the Ishikawa and Rei match than the Jun and Kento.
They went hard.
Yeah, I thought both of I thought they both did good, to be honest with you. And obviously, you got to give credit to Ishikawa and Kento as well. But I've always said, like, when they first came in, I was, like, their only fans. I felt like practically, like, everyone else thought they were bad. I thought they were not good, but good in a Cyrus way, to where they add something special to the card.
Good in a Cyrus way, yeah.
Well, in that, nobody's saying Cyrus is, like, a Hikaru Sato technical wrestler.
No.
You know? Like, but what he does is good. Like, you know, he brings something special to the cards. And I felt the same way about the Saito brothers, where they had the sumo, like, type of deal. Ever since they went to the Voodoo Murder stuff, I just think they've been awful, you know, and I think that they've really downgraded themselves. But they didn't do that in these matches. They were much more of just, and I think the one thing that you could say about that is they've gotten to add a little bit of personality to themselves, even though it's kind of goofy on one end, but it's something at least, and they don't come across as dry. And in these matches, they show that, hey, maybe they won't be guys that will have 5-star matches or anything like that. But they have a place on the card, you know, and they can do stuff and be carried by better, you know, like the really good wrestlers overall, you know.
The perfect example for that is the Kento and Jun Saito match.
Yeah, exactly. And he did a good job. It's not like he was there and he sucked and then Kento just drug it out of him. I thought he actually hung in there, like, you know, more than enough. And then same thing for Rei. And I mean, they really seem to like Rei. Like, I mean, he's undefeated so far. He's leading the block at the moment. So, you know, I doubt that'll last. I don't predict him winning the tournament or anything, but I think that they've both done a good job. I don't even have a strong favorite between the two. I think they're both about kind of equal, and I like what we've seen from them so far.
Yeah, I like the Kento Miyahara versus Ryukyu Honda match. They told a little story around that match. So after Miyahara had beaten Jun Saito at the show before, Honda came out and hit the final vent on Kento Miyahara's finishing move. And here they went in with Honda as the clear heel, who did multiple low blows to Kento Miyahara, who then hit a low blow on his own. They did a ref bump. They did a lot on this in these 9 minutes. I thought it was good for the live crowd. The live crowd was very into the action. And it was a fun way to put over this match that would have just been a random match in the tournament any other way.
Very mad at the person on Twitter who called him Fat Okada with his old hair. Very angry when I saw that.
Made me laugh,
Clearly the old hair is superior to this mohawk, in my opinion.
The old hair is better. Yeah.
Yes, this Shuji Kondo, a good clear tribute that he has here. I think they're kind of giving Honda like an edge, you know, pretty much. Because before he had a very wholesome look to himself with the shades and everything, just like a good big guy wrestler that we all loved, who was always awesome, to be honest. Now, and I also think that they're kind of shifting away. Like, it's clear to me he's the leader of that group now. Yeah. You know, like it's not
Usher. Very clear.
Yeah, and they're trying to give him more of an edge, kind of like a roughneck type of deal or whatever. So I could get behind it. Like, he's still a really talented performer. Here's the thing, like, all of these matches are fine, but they're not special.
No,
I'm not seeing anything on these cards. And I wasn't even talking about the crowds when I said the energy. I meant it from the wrestlers.
Okay.
Like, I don't see a lot of, like, next-level stuff going on these shows outside of... And even the Yuma and T-Hawk match, to me, was not a fantastic match. It was a really strong match.
Very good match, yeah. I would agree.
Yeah.
Lots of the stuff on this card is good, but... I agree with that the next step here is really not there.
And we saw with Honda and Kento, for example, last year they had the tournament when Jake had to give up the title. They were in the finals of the title, the Triple Crown tournament, and they had a banger, like a great match. And then here it's like we get this 8. And that's something I've noticed throughout all of these cards. I mean, outside of a handful of matches, you're looking at single digits in the match times, like all under 10 minutes.
That's because they have so much stuff on the card that they seemingly thought they had to do. It's not only like that they are doing the second tournament, but they also had this weird four-way match in the undercard with Hokuto Mori going over Shuji Ishikawa, Jun, and Rei Saito. It was only the fourth four-way match ever in All Japan history.
For whatever reason,
yeah, they and for whatever reason they felt that they had to put this on this card. It was short, but it once again took away 4 minutes plus entrances. And they also, of course, had to do the match of the decade, Dylan, the All Asia Tag Team Title Tornado Bunkhouse Megaton Current Blast Death Match. Those explosions were loud, and someone who was in the building told me that the explosions were really deafening live in the arena.
I'm going to be honest, I didn't watch this.
What?
Overall, like, I mean, I've seen their prior death matches, and there's a lot of matches on these shows, and do I need to dedicate 20 minutes of my life to this? And probably even longer, because it took them so long to set up stuff. Like, I had to skip forward.
Yeah, it was only 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. So should I watch this, Striga? Be honest with yourself and me. Do not lie to me in front of the listeners.
Then I can't answer your question.
No comment. It's okay. Pleading the fifth. A very political answer. Yeah. Okay. Well, here's my question. Because the Junior Tag Battle of Glory, I've mainly liked, because I think my expectations for that tournament aren't the same for the Champion Carnival. You know, like, so if they're not at that next gear, I don't mind as much with these opening matches and things like that, even though I liked a lot of what they've done. Have they answered what do they get if they win this tournament? Did they ever say it was the All-Asia shot? Because that's the logical thing.
It's the logical thing, but, I mean, do you see Atsuki Aoyagi and Rising Hayato face Yoshitatsu and Matsushi Onita?
I don't know who faces this team, Striga. So I don't understand anything going on about these titles right now.
No. It's wild. I don't know.
And they're not even letting Omori use Get Wild as his theme. What is that all about?
Yeah.
Very unhappy with this theme song change. One of the best theme songs to a generic one. And they gave Atsuki new music, too, in the opener. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was kind of a downgrade, to be honest. Not as bad as the Get Wild change. But I think it's kind of a generic song at the end of the day.
It is. It is very generic. Yeah, I agree with that. Yuma Anzai and Shotaro Ashino really liked that match. I thought that Anzai had a good showing once again. Ashino tried to really dissect him, went for the arm, went for the leg, but Yuma Anzai broke free, hit the jumping knee and the German suplex. Easy story, well executed. Anzai gets his first win. Ashino remained winless up until that point. It was probably the best of the Champion Carnival matches on that card, because the Zuwama and Manabu Soya match in the main event, it was a lot of heel work from Zuwama. Lots of,
it was
dragging around. Yeah.
Yeah, it was boring. I agree with you that Anzai and Ashino, it was the best match of the show. I really liked it, to be honest. And Anzai is such a... He's so obviously a dude that it's almost painful, you know? and they're not even... And they're doing good by him. Like, they're totally doing right by him. Letting him have this win is something unthinkable at 99.9% of rookie, you know, tournament runs. But with him, it felt right that he won, honestly. Like, he used the jumbo knee. It just feels right, him getting pushed. And I hope he wins more matches in the tournament.
I hope so as well. So, yeah, much like you said, the block right now, Ryukyu Honda is leading block A with 3 wins at 6 points. And in block B, it's Rei Saito, who picked up a big, big win over Manabu Soya on the show today. And Ryukyu Honda beat Cyrus. Kojima picked up his first victory, so this tournament's now off and going. And we'll see where this leads us.
One other thing I want to say that I really didn't like at all was in the T-Hawk and Kojima match, they're repeating the same gimmick that they did last year with T-Hawk with the roll-up deal. Yeah. And it sucked then, and it still sucks. it sucks especially because we just saw him have like one of the best matches of the year. And a very strong match versus Aoyagi in another match. So you've got back-to-back great matches with him. And then you see him doing this, and it's like, why? Like, why him? Like, why can't this be somebody else's type of deal? I didn't like it at all. that part, even though I was happy he got the win.
It's going to be interesting with T-Hawk because, of course, he's now the new G-Rex champion and became champion basically at the beginning of the tournament. He wasn't the champion, but now he is. And he got a big win over Satoshi Kojima with this roll-up deal that you mentioned. And he also beat Jun Saito. So after losing before he was champion, he now got two wins after he became champion. And he'll probably drop a fall to another guy in the tournament and then defend the G-Rex title against him on Great. Because Great and All Japan are working together. They're doing another show in August that was announced on the Great Show as well. So we got that coming up. And yeah, Champion Carnival final on May the 7th in Golden Week. We know that the final of the tournament is happening there, as well as Naoki Doi's defense against Denta Mura, Dylan.
Yeah, I really don't feel any different about my feelings heading into the tournament in terms of standings.
Mm.
The one good thing I can say is, having Aoyagi beat Kento really reinvigorated my hopes for him to win. And with T-Hawk winning the title, maybe he can beat Kento on the last show. Because when I first saw it, I thought, like, oh, well, this is easy. Kento will beat, you know, Cyrus can eliminate Kojima, and Kento can beat T-Hawk. And it's like an easy, makes perfect sense final. Now, I think things are a little muddied for, and Aoyagi facing Yoshitatsu, I was like, oh, well, I guess he's not winning because he's facing Yoshitatsu on the last show. But now things have worked out in such a way to where I have a little bit more hope for Yuma to win, and I think he is the best option, just me as a fan. I still think it's very possible, like you said, Kento could just beat T-Hawk, you know, and just advance, and that could be a big match in the future. We'll see, but I think Kojima and Suwama, your pick, I think it looks pretty solid right now with how things have played out. Overall, I wouldn't be... You know, if I'd put a bet on that, I wouldn't be cashing out early, because I think it looks pretty solid right now overall, because Kojima set up to make he lost a couple of matches early, too, not just, you know, he dropped a couple of falls really early, and he's not going to drop a lot of falls in this tournament, you know, so I think he's about to go on a big run. We've seen that happen in tournaments so many times overall. In B-Block, like I said, that to me is like the Wild West heading into the tournament, and I don't feel any differently. I think Suwama's the clear favorite, but I would love if they just gave Anzai the block.
Yeah,
just let him win.
I would also love, like, in block A, Honda is looking like a dude right now, but that's probably his run at the beginning of the tournament, then he will fall off. For Yuma Aoyagi, I'm a little bit more optimistic because, yes, he has won his first matches, but then he lost. So it's not like that he has this crazy run right now. So he'll probably be looming in the background. And maybe it's his time again.
And like I said, they've set it up to where, you know, Cyrus and T-Hawk could win and Yuma can win as well. And it all could work out where Kento and Kojima could get knocked out on the last night. It would still be kind of weird with how they laid it out, but it's more possible now. Like, at first I thought, no, he's not going to win, but now I think there is a chance, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I've liked the junior tag tournament. I don't have like a lot of extended thoughts on it. Do you have anything to say about the tag league?
Yeah, the match on that show, on the Saturday show, the second of the tournament matches, I really liked Atsuki Aoyagi and Ryzen Hayato against Naoki Doi and Naoki Tanizaki. I thought it was a good match. They used their new double team finishing move that's called the Hauser Impact. Kind of a version of the Coriolis move that Aussie Open also does. Yeah, I really like that team. Really like the Ryo Inoue and Ojishiba team. They scored an upset over Hikaru Sato and Tamura. Really cool stuff there. So it's a nice little tournament.
Yeah, I agree. I like every team in the tournament so far. It's been all quality, solid opening stuff. One more thing I'll say about this whole thing before we get on out of here, because it's something that we saw a lot of talk of, and I'll kind of run it by you and see what you think of it. Ashino lost a lot of matches and lost to the Young Lion. The young rookie, which I still think is awesome, but a lot of people are mad that it was Ashino that did it.
Yeah.
What do you think of Ashino right now? Because a lot of people are speculating that maybe he won't re-sign at the end.
I mean, you've said it. He's not the leader of the group anymore, apparently. He's not the focal player in Gungi of Anarchy anymore. It's Honda, and they've focused on him much more than they've done with Ashino. And it's weird because he has been a project of them for a long time, and he even had this storyline with the Zuwama going, but at some point they just aborted mission and they didn't go through with that. They lost the tag titles. He went off in a body bag. I mean, those are clear signs.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what we were talking about the tournament. You were trying to big him up as a
person.
Right. And I was like, they dropped him off in a body bag. That's not how you build up champions. But I honestly think, because I said this to Yannick on the Patreon show, patreon.com/EasternLariat, by the way, if you want to hear every single match covered on there. Basically, I'm not mad about Ashino losing, because to me, what you said is exactly what I brought up. His tournament, to me, there was no even prayer of him winning this tournament or even the block. Like, I thought he was such a non-entity of the company right now going into it. But his tournament hinges on, will he beat Suwama? If he can beat Suwama, get his first singles win over him, then to me, he's elevated and had a successful tournament, because they finally paid off the story that they never did before, pretty much. And I think that will be a successful tournament, in my opinion, for him, if he gets a win over Suwama, which I don't think is impossible at this stage, just because there's no other real avenues you could go down. And I think he's really, you know, he was, and I said this too, I think honestly, in all reality, he's done as successfully as you could have realistically hoped for somebody of his size to do in All Japan. He's had multiple tag title runs. He's had a title shot. He had multiple title shots for the Triple Crown. He's been a guy. He's not. I mean, he's never been like a focal guy, but he's been a guy, and I think that's something at least. And to me, for most guys his size, you wouldn't even get that. So I think that he's had a decent run. I think the thing is, his fans see him as a top tier main event player.
Yeah,
when that's just not
going to be that in All Japan.
Yeah, like that's just not going to happen. Like, it never was ever going to happen at his size. So I think his run is not that bad if you lower your expectations enough overall. And I think that I really think they dropped the ball on, and it's easy to say in hindsight, because unfortunately Naoya got injured. And that looked like a cool deal they were going to have with Nomura and now Yagi. I think they dropped the ball on Honda and Ashino as champions. Like, I thought that group had such a great vibe to them. Yeah. Honda's so charismatic. Ashino's a great worker. They cover up each other's strengths and weaknesses so well that I just thought they could have a legendary run if they wanted. But they really, like you said, kind of aborted mission on that.
And they had this great title win in Budokan.
Yeah.
Were presented the belts by, Taue and Kawada, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that match.
Presented the belts. Great, great win for them in front of this great crowd. But everything they did on that show was quickly erased.
And that's the sad part of it. I mean, that was such a terrible time of All Japan, too. Because remember, they did the Nomura title match one day after the Budokan show. Right. And Hokuto went winless. And now he's winning all these matches at Champion Carnival. Like, he was winless in the junior tournament, but now a threat as a heavyweight. Like, I think they've tried to erase a lot of that era. Like, the last quarter of 2022 going in. And to benefit. But the thing is, that hurts it, too. And this is the last thing I'll say about this. The first 3 months of All Japan were really good. You know, it was a step in the right direction in every way from what they were doing in 2022. So to see them kind of fall back into this average tournament, I think hurts them more than if they were really struggling. I think we would say, okay, they're taking a step in the right direction. With the great 3 months they had, it feels like they're not keeping the momentum they had. And especially for a month that you're giving this service away at AJPW.TV for free for this month. Mm-hmm. You want to put these shows on that will drive people to come back. I think me watching these shows, I would not think this is the hot company that I need to watch coming out of the first three.
I can't say anything against that, yeah.
Yeah. But I still have hope for it. They're doing interesting things, and the final nights I think are going to be really good if they play their cards right. They have a chance to do something special, and so I'm not giving up on the tournament. But as of now, I've not been that impressed by it.
Yeah, I mean, match like I said, I think that they have had a turnaround moment with the show on Saturday, but it's not like they are lighting the world on fire. This is not the hottest tournament of them all. There's good stuff happening, and you can cherry pick some of those matches. I mean, go for the Honda matches, go for the Kento, Yuma Aoyagi matches. Those are the ones that stand out to me. Watch the Saito brothers in the matches that we mentioned against Shuji Ishikawa and Kento Miyahara. That's good stuff. But it's not lighting the world on fire.
Yeah, I would say the one, like, Yuma and Tiok is the only match I would say is, like, really strong of the tournament. Mm. Everything else is, like, if you're into the company, like, you know, like, we've watched the Saito brothers suck for so long. To see them be average makes us happy. But if you're just a new fan, I don't think you're going to get a lot out of a lot of these matches.
Yeah. All right, that's All Japan. I've got two more things, Dylan, I wanted to bring up on this show.
Oh, great, great, yeah.
Because Golden Week is approaching, and there's a couple of big shows happening, of course, during that week, and especially around the 4th and 5th of May. That's always big days. I'm just looking at a lot of cards that are going to happen on that. Is it actually a weekend? May 5? Let's check out. Oh yeah, it's May 5 is a Friday actually, but on May 4, I want to go to that first, is the Big Japan show in Yokohama Budokan, and they did a double shot this weekend in Sapporo, where at first Yuji Okabayashi defended the strong title against Daisuke Sekimoto, and it went to a 30-minute time limit draw for Okabayashi's 8th defense. Then in the main event, Abdullah Kobayashi beat Ryuji Ito for becoming the number one contender to Hideyoshi Kamitani. And Kamitani, on the next day, defeated Katsumi Kikuta in his first deathmatch title match. Kikuta looked very good in his first deathmatch, I thought, and really looking forward to checking this one out. So this brings us then to a couple of matches announced for the Yokohama card on May 4. It's at first Kota Sekifuda making his 12th defense of the junior heavyweight title against Kaji Tomato. And I can kind of see a title change coming in this match because Sekifuda has been champion for a long time. I think they might be doing something more with this guy.
As a full-fledged member of the SSC, Sekifuda support crew, I will have to praise your opinion on that.
Sekifuda respectors here.
That's right. Sekifuda respect. Doors right now. Kaji Tomato, a veteran of the indie scene. You could do worse as your champion, yeah, I would say. But yeah, Sekifuda, why not? I mean, they have. It's not like they have a lot of options. So I mean, he's as good as any.
Yep. Also, for the Big Japan Tag Team title, they once again did a draw between the Astronauts and Okabayashi and Sekimoto. It's the second time in this title run, actually, that they've done that. When is Abe and Nomura finally beating them? Is my question.
I like how it's a double knockout, too. Yeah. Not just a time limit draw. So.
Yeah. A double knockout is one of the most telegraphed finishes when you do a tag team match.
Yeah.
Because all the four guys have to be knocked out at the same time.
Yeah.
It's very unlikely.
Yeah, exactly. Very improbable finish, but somehow it's just magically happened between these two teams. So, I mean, like I said, they don't have a lot of things of importance going on in Big Japan, so I'll give them this. But when they actually beat Strong BJ, it'll feel like a big win. Like, it'll feel like an important win because they've done all this goofy stuff pretty much to delay it. So when they finally do it, at least it'll feel big, so I can't knock it.
You will like it. What they are doing in the Yokohama show, because Nomura and Abe are going to defend the tag title against Takuo Kato and Hiroyuki Suzuki.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. Like a really any Astronauts match is always going to be, you know, their floor is like good. You know, that's the worst it can possibly be. So they're always two of the best workers in Japan.
Yes, absolutely. And we got Yuji Okabayashi versus Yui Aoki for the Big Japan Strong title. And now our good friend Rob Dylan, he is very much expecting Yui Aoki to pull the trigger and become champion. And I kind of expect it too. Do you think that Aoki will win?
Yeah. If you're going to do the title change, this is the place to do it. Puts it on a new, fresh face. Aoki is a deserving candidate. I think he's a good worker in and of his own right. I've always been a fan of his, so I have no problem with that. I think they'll have a great match. It's all about the follow-up, you know, and that's something they've always struggled with.
They've already set up the first challenger, actually. Even though Daisuke Sekimoto has only had his title chance now, at the last Kurikan, he pinned Yuya Aoki. And now his title shot against Yuji Kobayashi was a time limit draw. So he has a calling card to once again challenge for the title. And Aoki versus Sekimoto in Curricon Hall sounds good.
Who's to say Okabayashi and Sekimoto wouldn't happen again in Big Japan?
Of course. Yeah.
I don't think that telegraphs anything, to be honest. But I think the fact that it's the big show is what telegraphs it to me. Like, why would you not change it here, if you're going to do it? But that's how they always do it. It just never seems to work out with their younger guys. So let's hope for the best.
One of the younger guys that actually worked out in the deathmatch scene is Hideyoshi Kamitani, and he now goes against Abdullah Kobayashi in an Yokohama Explosion Jungle Deathmatch, whatever that means. But we'll see. The deathmatch scene is dire.
Very generous saying he's worked out, I would say.
Yeah, I agree with that. But definitely they tried with him, and he's made it work for him. I see him losing now because I guess they are going to back to the old guys once again. This deathmatch scene, there are a lot of old guys in this scene, and there will be a time when Big Japan really needs to raise the question what they are accomplishing with this title anymore, because there are just not any guys that are coming up that can legitimately like sell out a building.
Well, you're not getting that in this company, no matter who it is. So what division
it is. Another good point, but still though, this division is not where it was a couple of years ago.
And I'd say
nowhere near.
Yeah, I'd say the peak of the deathmatch division was probably 15 years ago,
I would have said 2005 now, yeah.
Yeah.
With Yuki Miyamoto and Isami Kodaka being new in there, that was really good. But since then...
Well, yeah, that was like way later. I'm talking about like Ryuji Ito in his prime and stuff like that.
Yeah,
Jackie Namazawa and all that. Even back when the Honma days, when they did some really outrageous things, even further than that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. The title, what you're saying is true. Like you said, even a few years ago, it was definitely better than it is now. I think that...
The last real good run that I can remember is the Masaya Takahashi title run.
That was pretty good. Takeda, I thought.
Yeah, Takeda,
he was another one where he was actually getting a little bit of buzz. I think this company in general has slowly faded into oblivion in the minds of most, especially English-speaking fans. I said it before.
It's gone the 0-1 route.
Yeah, that's true. Even among the Japanese fans, I think it's basically there now. But they have a lot of talented guys. You know, Kamitani, he was a guy. He's like one of the. He's like the poster child of what I just said earlier about guys who won and failed. And it wasn't even him. It was because they didn't follow it up right, unfortunately. So that's why I'm really hands off of this Aoki deal, because for all I know, he'll win and then lose it, you know, very quickly back. Or the title reign won't be good and he'll be blamed for it. But I don't know. I mean, didn't they bring in Necro Butcher or something?
Yeah, they brought in Necro Butcher and Madman Pondo.
I mean, that's where they're at right now.
That's where they're at, yeah. Nothing else to say about that. So that's Big Japan. One day later, Dragon Gate, Dead or Alive, is happening, and they've got a couple of matches announced for that show. UT makes his return, participants still to be announced for the match, probably going to be a six-man or eight-man of sorts with Natural Vibes, maybe opening the show. Natural Vibes opening the show is always good for Dragon Gate. Then they have the Open the Brave Gate title match. That's something I have circled for that Golden Week. Jason Lee defends against Dragon Dyer. That could be really, really good.
Oh, that match is going to be so freaking awesome. I'm really looking forward to that. That's two of my absolute favorite guys in Dragon Gate, so I'm super hyped about that.
Open the Twin Gate. Kenno and Shuji Kondo defend against Kai and Ishin. Good opportunity for young Ishin, who recently made his return to action. They are challenging Kenno and Kondo. I don't think that Kai and Ishin will win, because I think the story with Kenno will still go on with him and the two tag titles. But a good opportunity definitely for Ishin.
Yeah, he's really struggled since he's come back. I haven't been a big fan of his since the return. I think he's a guy that was really great with Mochizuki Jr., and Mochizuki Jr. is still great. And he has not been great, to say the least, since all of that stopped. But Kai's a great worker. I think he's going to have a lot of great sequences with the other two, and I think that they'll end up making this work. And this could be a standout. I agree with you that Kenno and Soya will retain, but I think that this could be a turning point for Isshin in the right direction.
Yep. Then we get another interpromotional match with a special tag match. Yamato and Yuki Yoshioka team up to face Naomichi Marufuji and Dragon Kid. Marufuji is working all over the place on that weekend. That's going to be something one day after the match that he had with Jake Lee then.
It's cool for Yoshioka to get to wrestle a guy who's a legend. You know, I'm whatever you want to say about him now, at one point he was one of the absolute best wrestlers in the whole world. Mm-hmm. And very influential upon the wrestling scene. So to wrestle a name like that means something. And I mean, the match will be fun. And it's a good idea to kind of make this special match for Yoshioka, who's kind of been drifting since he lost the title.
Yeah, definitely. Then open the Triangle Gate title. Kota Minoura, BB Hulk, and Benkei defend against KZ, Big Boss Shimizu, and Strong Machine J. I think that has not been announced, but that's the takeaway that I had. But maybe KZ is going to be in the UT return match too, so I don't know. But what has been announced is the main event, Shun Skywalker making his defense against Madoka Kikuta. Kikuta had a banger of a match with Kota Minoura recently in the main event of Kurken Hall, April 5. You should really check that match out if you haven't seen that. Madoka Kikuta is on a great run, and I'm expecting a good match with Shun Skywalker.
I love the storyline that they have with him with these... Basically, Shun is making him run this crazy gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he put him in a handicap match against three members of Z-Brats, just beat him down in the first game.
Hio pinned him, whereas usually Hio is always in the losing post of Z-Brats, so they are kind of humiliating Kikuta going in there.
Yeah, and Shun basically hit his big move, the moonsault double knees, and then he was like, ah, Hio, you can pin him. So it was a great deal. Like you said, just mind games, humiliating him. And now the next one is a triple threat match with all of the courage, where it's him versus Yoshioka versus Daya in a three-way match, which could be great, but I'm expecting to be more storyline-based. I put a long, detailed thread on Twitter of my idea for that storyline, because I think there's a great way they could go about it. I won't get too deep into it, but long story short about this match, I don't expect Kikuta to win, but I think that they've done a great job building this up. And I totally agree, him versus Minoura, that was probably, you know, I think the Yoshioka and Shun match is up there, but I think right up there is a Dragon Gate, one of the best matches in Dragon Gate this year, Kikuta and Minoura match. So the storyline's great, the match was really strong with Minoura, and I think they have a long-term storyline, too, that they could call upon with the whole, you know, this is where he got injured, like this was the show and the match that Kikuta got injured at.
Exactly, this,
yeah. They haven't really played into that too much yet, but this is going to be his redemption, more or less, for that. So you've got a lot of different things. He's going to shine really well, and I think have a good match. Like you said, I expect this to be even better than the Strong Machine match that Shun had in March. I think this could be a real turning point for that title reign as well, with a great story. And the match itself.
Do you think there's a chance that Kikuta wins?
No. No.
I don't really think that this is happening. Just for the fun of it, I brought it up. I think there are slim chances, but I feel like that they are going with Skywalker for now.
Yeah, he's only had one defense so far.
Yeah, that's true.
And it feels like that would rock the boat on everything, like right heading into Kobe World. And we saw how well that worked out last time for Minoura coming in there. And I don't think you need to uproot the whole boat. Right now they're doing all right. Like, their numbers are steady, as they always are. Shun, maybe he won't be the work rate champion, the heel champion of the Dragon Gate promotion, but it's something they always go to, one of their shticks, pretty much. I think he's a great heel, though, and I think there's a lot of juice left in the squeeze. And I also think that Kikuta is not ready to be the ace of the company. In my opinion, I like him a lot, but I think that the others in Decourage are ahead of him, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, nothing more to add from my point here. I think we've been through the topics that we wanted to discuss. Next weekend's the big Stardom show. They've set up Mayu and Mercedes with another angle. And with a slap at the press conference, so that's happening next weekend. Yeah, with a slap heard around the world. Good stuff there. And
And a great angle for Tom and Julia, where Julia just unleashed, brought that hatred that Yuki taught her into this match there. But, I mean, that's going to be a fantastic show by all intents and purposes. I have very high expectations for the whole card. But not just the matches, but the vibe of it, I think, is going to feel like a huge show that, you know, is one of the best in the company's history.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's going to be a very good show. We've been over the card in recent shows as well. Yeah. They've added, of course, a lot of matches to that, but the core stuff we talked about, so that's up on April 23rd. And we'll probably be back, yeah, around the beginning of Golden Week, Dylan.
Great stuff. Golden Week's going to be a big show for everybody, but definitely watch the Stardom show. It's going to be an English commentary, too, if you're a new fan. Lots of really cool matches on there. It's going to be a big moment for the company as well. Like, and for Joshi Pro Wrestling as a whole, that's going to be probably the biggest show, maybe not of the year, but definitely the biggest show of the year so far in Joshi Pro Wrestling.
Yes.
If you want something that feels important, then that is where you're going to look. And continue watching the Champion Carnival. They got their stuff going on. I look forward to it. I mean, they're going to be off for another few days, right, by the time this airs. So they're back on the 20th, I think. Maybe the 22nd.
Yeah, they are back on the 22nd, actually.
Yeah, okay, the 22nd. Yeah, just like I said there. And then Golden Week, we'll have the New Japan show, Dontaku.
Right.
Hiromu versus Sanada coming up. Big Japan. NOAH has their Sumo Hall show, so that's going to be a really big show.
Yes, absolutely. Looking forward to Golden Week and looking forward to the next show with you, Dylan. For now, this has been it. This has been the Eastern Lariat. Thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.